Second John, looking at verses 4 through 6. Second John 4 through 6. All right, you follow along as I read. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Father, we pray that you bless our time now as we consider these passages. Help us to understand the message of John, that we need to walk in love. We pray that you'll bless our time here as we consider love and truth together as two biblical truths. Bless our time now, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, in this short epistle, just a little bit of review, 13 verses that we have here, about 242 words. John, as we break this down, he addressed the assembly. He approved the assembly, admonished the assembly, advised the assembly, and anticipated seeing the assembly. So, fivefold breakdown in this short little book. As we mentioned last time, it's written to the elect lady and her children. Although some have taken this as referring to some woman, that he wrote to a woman and her children, I believe biblical and historical interpretation has been that this is symbolism for the local church and local church members, and that's the way I'm interpreting it. Some would say, no, it was written to electa curia, that'd be the Greek behind elect lady here. And Kyria, then, would be some woman friend that he had, and he had been commanded to love her, and so on. Well, when you put it on a personal basis like that, it really seems to break down. Plus, we argue from known to unknown, and we know that the Bible, New Testament writers, either wrote to churches or church members, and generally, when they wrote to church members, they wrote to men. So, to have a letter to a woman or to a woman church member really seems to run counter to everything that we know for sure. All right, so we always operate from known to unknown. So, to assume that he's writing to some woman friend who had some children, I think takes us in a wrong direction and misunderstands a great deal of Scripture here, and it's going to cause confusion, and so on. And so I believe this is referring to the local church. The word church itself is a feminine noun. Now, that's a grammatical gender rather than a physical one, obviously. But in Greek, we've got nouns that are neuter, masculine, and feminine. And so it happens to be that ecclesia is a feminine noun. Hence, we talk about the church as she or her. This has been a biblical practice and a historical practice, and there's nothing wrong with that. So I believe he's referring to a local church here and the church members. So in the passage that we notice here, he is addressing the church, saying, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandment from the Father. So here the children would be the church members. And the church members then were walking in truth. Notice here in verse 4 he says, I rejoice greatly. So he had joy as they were walking in truth. This is very similar to what you find in 3 John. Verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4, where he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Here again, he's writing to the elder Gaius. Now, in this case, he's writing to a man who's a church member. And the children here are the church members. And so we see a parallel. We see joy and truth in both these passages dealing with walking. So I rejoice greatly that I have found of thy children walking in truth. And 3 John 1, 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So we have some parallels in and so on in all this. So in this verse, he approves of the church. He's very approving of the church. He's rejoicing. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. All right, so this idea of walking in truth went a little bit along with the song we sang, Walking in the Sunlight. All right, so good choice there. Fits right in. So you probably read my notes here. But we do have other passages, such as, if you look back there in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, scripture here talks about walk, where John says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So here is walking in the light, walking in the light. In 1 John chapter 3, we have 3:23, we have reference to a commandment. 3:23, and this is the commandment, then this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So here is the commandment to love. And so we see in 1 John, we have walking, commandment, love, and certainly truth is involved here. So John is bringing these themes back together. Now, walking in truth has to do with the implementation of truth. The implementation of truth. In other words, we put to practice truth. We walk in truth. We put it to practice. Now, let's think here for a little bit here. For instance, we're in Bible Baptist Church, so let's make this practical. So here's Bible Baptist Church, and we would like to say, of course, all churches would say this, but we're saying it here, that our focus is on truth. All right? Truth. And truth refers to both the Lord and his word. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And the Lord, he is truth, way, the life, and the truth. So truth is based on the person and his word, or the living word and the written word, you might say. So truth. That's what Bible Baptist Church. And this is what we need. This is what we, as Bible Baptist Church members, need. We need the truth. This is why we meet here. This is really the ultimate reason we meet here. We meet here three times on Sunday. We meet here 2 days of the week, and so on. And what we need as people in God's creation is we need the truth. That's what we need. And so that's why we're meeting here. Now, truth is put forth, let's put it this way, truth is put forth certainly through preaching and teaching, and probably the difference here only is preaching is exhorting with the facts. So teaching lays out the facts, and preaching exhorts with the facts. So that's a kind of a very general, simple definition, preaching and teaching. So it's hard to teach without preaching. It's hard to preach without teach. So they intermingle, but they're slightly different. And I would say also from a local church corporate point of view, we're involved here in music and, you know, our giving. We need to support the ministry of truth. So this is basically worship here. This is worship. And in fact, we're told in John 4:24 that our Lord said there anyway, worship in spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Right? John 4:24, spirit and truth. Worship in spirit and truth. So, worshiping in spirit and truth, we can worship anywhere. The building is just incidental. We've worshiped out there in the parking lot, right? 4th of July last year. We worshiped at somebody's house a couple weeks ago around the swimming pool. Well, we didn't worship the swimming pool. but we can worship in spirit and truth. So truth has to do with what the Lord's given us. He's given us himself as a person and his word. And spirit certainly would have to do with our spirit, our attitude when we come to the Word of God. So this is important. We need to have spirit. We need to have our spirit in line with the truth. So we worship in spirit and truth. Now we can say we worship the spirit, but that's not what we're talking about here. We worship in spirit and truth. And so this is Bible Baptist Church, and this is our worship. Spirit and truth. So we do it around preaching, teaching, music, and the giving, primarily. And then obviously, beyond this, we have another level, we might say, and this would have to do with our spiritual gifts. And beyond this, we might say, is various ministries in our local church and so on. So this is the way we've organized Bible Baptist Church. And so our whole focus here and the whole reason that we meet on Sundays is that we can worship the Lord and His Word in spirit and truth. That's why we're meeting here. Now, there's a lot of other things that are associated with this, to be sure. And these other things are all important, but the most important thing is right here. You see that? And so we need to keep that in mind, that we're coming here, we're creatures who need the truth. And so we come to local church to gain this truth that comes through preaching and teaching, and we sing the truth, and we support the truth. So this is basically our worship. And so everything else has to give way, you see, to this. So for a practical point of view, this is why I stated before that when the preaching and teaching is going on here, this is primary, and everything else is secondary. So let's say as we've had cookouts and so on after our service, we've tried to work it out so that the worship part of the service is not undermined by the cookout. In other words, we want to put spiritual food before physical food. You see, I prepare three meals for you every Sunday. I like you to sit at the table and enjoy them. Now, some of them may be better than others. So, but I do put a lot of work into the meals I give you. Now, you women know what it's like to fix a nice, big, luscious supper for your husband, and he has to work late. Oh, boy. You know, so, yeah, put it in the oven or the refrigerator, and, you know, so much loss, or he never comes home for that, you know, or whatever, but he misses the meal. So, at least that's out in the secular world. So, in other words, there's a meal here. And I hope that you can benefit from that. I always do. I always enjoy my cooking. So that's our focus. And likewise, let me say, with the nursery. The nursery is a service provided for our parents so that they can appreciate and be in the service as much as they possibly can. And so it's necessary service, and so we have a service, but it's for your benefit. So let me say it the other way. I don't know that there's this problem, but I've been in a lot of Baptist churches through the years, and if you regularly come to Bible Baptist Church and there are three meals put forth for you, and you never get to enjoy any of them, there's a problem. Now, the problem is either an administrative problem on the part of the church or a personal problem with you. You follow that? So if it's an administrative problem, we want to try to correct it. If it's a personal problem, you're the only one that can correct it. So This is what Bible Baptist Church is all about. And this is what any New Testament church is about. So we're not talking about the pastor necessarily. We're talking about the putting forth of truth. And this is why you come. You need to be energized and build up and encouraged and convicted through the truth on a regular basis. Now, I focused on Sunday. We do have Wednesday night services, and I'm not trying to denigrate that, to be sure. Sunday is a special day, I think, for believers, since it commemorates the resurrection. Some churches have Tuesday night service, Thursday night service, Wednesday night service, whatever. And some people, because of their employment, can't always make it on in midweek like they can on Sunday. I'm not saying that it's any less, but certainly the major focus has to be on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week, the day that commemorates the Lord's resurrection. And so that's why we come here, and that's where we want to have our focus. So there's a lot of other things go on, but this has to be the primary focus. We always have to keep that in mind. And I mentioned this before, as the week draws closer to the weekend, we should be thinking in terms of, I'm getting ready to have a meal of truth. I'm getting ready. See, so now there's going to be plenty of opposition. Opposition occurs. Seems like it starts Saturday night. But if not Saturday night, Sunday morning. But there's opposition that comes to you getting your meal of truth. And so we have to keep that in mind. And we have to try to work through that. We have to realize that, yes, there's a battle every week. And this is true for big churches, and it's true for small churches. But we're talking here about Bible Baptist Church. So as we think of this then, you need to get the truth through the worship. And then your gift that God has given you, your spiritual gift, is then instructed by the truth. And likewise, your ministry is instructed. And then this ultimately affects your walk. See, that's what we're talking about here. Your walk, walking in truth. How do you walk in truth? When do you walk in truth? Well, walking in truth certainly ought to occur on Sunday, right? But it ought to occur the rest of the week as well, all the way through Saturday. Your walk in truth. So how are you going to walk in truth unless you get the truth? But there are going to be obstacles in any church, and even a Bible Baptist church, for you not getting the truth. So you have to be on the lookout and recognize that. And we work through that. So John was rejoicing. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we received the commandment from the Father. So this seems to be a generalization. We're to walk in light. We're to walk in love. Ephesians, and Paul brings this out in Ephesians and so on. But only we're to walk in truth. All right, so John approved the church. And certainly John, as a pastor, he says, the elder unto the elect lady. So he was giving advice. He was giving admonishment later on to the church there so that he can greatly rejoice. So that's why we come together. We don't come together for other things as a primary purpose. This is not a social club. We don't come together to play bingo. We don't come together for merely fellowship. I mean, that's good, but that's not why we come here. We don't come together, a lot of different reasons, but we come together to be instructed in and challenged about the truth. Now, in some churches that I'm aware of, that seems to be the last thing that's considered, and all kinds of other things. And some people are looking for all types of programs. Give me the program. I want the program. And the programs are important. And I've got to have this and all these things and so on. But no, what the Lord has for you here is the truth. Now, I can only say that because my commitment is to expound Scripture as has been written. And that's the only guarantee you have, is that truth will go forward. If I start inserting all kinds of opinions here and say, well, I think this is true here, and I think this is true here, and we never open the Bible, then it becomes my opinion. But I can say, and certainly I realize my limitations, but I can say I'm going to give you an exegesis of the Scripture as it stands, based on the languages, the context, the interpretation, so on and so forth. And that's going to be straightforward. And I believe this is how the Lord uses His Word. I've seen Him use His Word that way. And so that's what you're going to get here. Now, not everybody wants that. Other people want all kinds of things. But people have a wrong idea. And churches and pastors have allowed people to have the wrong idea about what is church. So our whole focus here is to be in and around the Word of God as it goes forth. Now, there's other things I can mention, and I'm not denigrating these things, but everything needs to be in its proper place. And so, this is why we'd like to have, and we try to work on it, the sound system going into the nursery, for instance. And that we may even be able to try to get a control button or and something like that for a nursery. But we want, where possible. Now, I realize if there's a child in the nursery and he or she's screaming, then there's limitations. But on the other hand, if everybody's docile, sleeping and so on, then the nursery worker could actually hear the message. I mean, that's what this is about, right? Now, of course, people work in the nursery realize they may not be able to hear anything. But if there's an opportunity, then we'd like them to be able to hear. So I'm not picking on the nursery. I'm just trying to let you see what we're trying to do here. This is what we're about. And so people in Cromwell that are interested in what we're doing here and that come, they'll be attracted to this. And others who are not interested won't be attracted. And we've had people walk in here and sit a while, look around, say, oh, this is not what I want. Then they've left. Had people walk out in the middle of the service. Now, I see it. You may not, but I've seen visitors come in and walk out. All right, well, we only want the people that the Lord wants here as we lay out what I believe is the biblical pattern. Now, I could bring out a passage I've alluded to before, but if you look there in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul gives basically, he gives basically the essence of a public church service. In 4:13 he says, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, the doctrine." Now, this would be at the corporate level. Give attendance to reading. So what would we read? Well, reading is reading the Bible. And exhortation, what's that? That's preaching. And then doctrine has to do with the doctrinal facts and putting the Scripture together and so on. So there you have. You have the reading of the Scripture. You have the preaching, the exhortation. You've got the teaching, the doctrine. Now, in Ephesians, music is brought in. And 1 Corinthians, giving is brought in. Or 2 Corinthians, giving is brought in. So we bring in these factors. This is all part of worship. All part of worship. But we've done this today. This morning, we read together out of Ruth. This afternoon, I've read, and you followed along, out of 2 John. Now, I'm trying to give some exhortation. We've looked at verses, trying to bring in the doctrinal teaching and so on. So we've tried to do all of these things. We had some singing here. We're going to have an opportunity for giving. And so when we do this, then this is our effort to try to focus on walking in truth. And then you take the truth and you apply it to yourself. Because we worship in spirit and truth, so the truth has been put forth as the Bible's open, read, and exhorted and taught. But the Spirit has to come in. Your Spirit has to come in. You have personal responsibility to deal with this. You've got to want to hear the truth. You've got to want to apply it to yourself. And so this is only something you can do. And as we mentioned before, primarily this is for you, so for you to focus on you, not to focus on anybody else. Is everybody else getting all this? Well, what really matters is, are you getting it? Are you getting it? So our biggest struggle is right here, within our clothes that we're wearing. That's our biggest struggle. And so we don't and shouldn't have time to spend about worrying about others. All right, so John was rejoicing that these church members were walking in truth. So he approved the church. And all biblical pastors are going to want that with their church members. What they're going to want? They're going to want to rejoice. And then secondly, we notice John admonished the church as well. He talks about the commandment. He says in verses 5 and 6, "Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another." Now, this is very, very similar to what John said back there in 1 John. Remember that? Was it a new commandment or an old one? Let's see. Which one was it? A new or an old? Remember that? Let's look back there. Make sure I remember it. All right? 1 John chapter 2. He says in 2:7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning." The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. "Again, a new commandment I write unto you." Well, he said, "I write no new commandment." Verse 7. Then 8, he says, "A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him." So, is he writing a new commandment or not? Well, the simple answer to that is yes and no. That's the simple answer. But the way we try to look at this is there's a newness to the development of the commandment. So if you recall, for instance, there in Matthew chapter 5, here the Lord says in Matthew 5:43, for instance, says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." All right, so loving the neighbor. Love thy neighbor, that's found in Leviticus 19:18. Love thy neighbor. Basic truth there. And hate thine enemy. Now that's found in Deuteronomy 23:6, where in that passage it calls for an imprecatory prayer on one's enemy. In other words, a prayer of condemnation. So, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you." So here the Lord is taking the commandment, the Old Testament teaching commandment, although two different passages, says, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. So that is an old commandment been given. He's advancing this now, and he's saying, love your neighbor and your enemies. Love your enemies, in this case. So not only love your neighbor, but love your enemies. So he advances that. So now we have the old commandment, but we have a new perspective on it. But then he advances that. And so as I mentioned before, if you look there in 1 John 3:16, here's an advancement of love thy neighbor. There in 1 John 3:16, it says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." All right, so here's new teaching on this. We not only should love our neighbor, but be willing to die for a believer. So So you see, the commandment was given in the way in the past, back in Moses' day. Love thy neighbor. That's the old commandment, right? But now there's been an advancement to it. Love thy neighbor, hate thy enemy. Love thy neighbor, love thy enemy. And now, love thy neighbor, love thy enemy, and be willing to die for your brother. So you see how that's advanced? So is that a new one or an old one? Well, it's both. It's an old one that has been increased and added to. So it's the old and the new. And so what John told the audience in 1 John, he's telling them basically here in the second John as well. And then verse 6 we notice, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is commandment that, as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So in the walking in love. And so when we have this scenario that we are fellowshipping around the truth, then we ought to be able to love one another in the truth. You see that? So love and truth go together. This is where Paul brings this teaching in. 1 Corinthians 13, for instance. Paul brings it in. He says, for instance, in 13:4, talking about charity, 13:4, charity, and then verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So charity, or love, rejoices in the truth. So if we know the truth, and we're walking in it, then we've got the spirit element that's involved here as well, and we spiritually need to love one another in the truth. So you see how the Bible writers put this together. But here's where the challenge comes in. The challenge comes in with regard to spirit, love, or truth. Now, we have to get the combination right. But that's where the problem comes in. So we focus around the truth. And we have to have our spirit wanting this truth, to worship in spirit and truth. And then we have to love those who as well are walking in the truth. And so some churches don't give the truth. Other churches that give the truth allow a bad spirit to permeate. And then some churches, to get the truth and to have the right spirit, the love is lacking. So we have to bring the right combination. And it's easy to get out of whack in all of this, all these areas. Our spirit, love, and truth. And so that's the challenge. And once we get ourselves where we are habitually right with truth and love and spirit, we can start working on other people. Oh, when is that going to be? Well, that's not going to be in this life. So we need to focus on ourselves. You see that? And deal with ourselves. So John brings these truths out. Now, as we saw there in 1 John, he gave several tests. Test for salvation, social test, the moral test, the doctrinal test. And basically he's bringing these together as well. And we can even see this in the gospel. So John brings these truths. He's always going back to love and truth and spirit. And he brings this combination together. But here in verse 6 then he says, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. So here he gives some basic teaching to a local church. And he wants to be able to rejoice in the local church as his local church follows through on this. And certainly any elder, any pastor would desire this as well, and desire to be able to rejoice that the church membership is united around truth, loving one another, and having their spirits right with the Lord and one another. And this is our goal. And when that happens, then we become a solid church. And we need to get in that position because there's going to be a lot of pressure put on us, as I mentioned, in the future And so we need to be united internally so we can be victorious over the external pressures that are going to come to us. And so, but we've got to work internally here as well. All right, let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you'll bless our time as we consider these truths. We thank you for giving us John's writings and the understanding that as he's laid these things out in such a clear way. We pray that you'll bless our efforts and help us to be a church that's based on truth and loving one another and guarding our spirits so that we have the right spirit towards thee and one another. Pray that you'll bless us and bless our time as we finish the service now, we pray. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen.